Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Hey, welcome to St. Charles River Church. We're just family. We are just family. We're so glad that you're here. Hey, welcome. We're glad that you're here. I don't know how long we'll be here because we could be raptured right out of here. And what a day that will be. It'll be an awesome thing. There's a lot of people that aren't here today. Those blue chairs represent a lot of people that need Jesus. Now, I know that church doesn't make you a Christian. Believe me, I know that. It does not. But those blue chairs don't just represent individuals. They represent potential, eternal individuals that need Jesus Christ. And they need their names written in the book of life. So to me, this is what I think when I see blue chairs. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. I pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers, don't you? To reach the harvest. And by the way, like the song, I love music because it touches me. Like the song says, somebody ought to do something. And God said, I did. I created you. You are the something and you are the someone. Okay, today we're going to hop back into the core value series. How many know that the St. Charles River Church has 13 core values? We're getting along well into the core values now. And today I want to talk with you. These are foundational principles that were given to Gina and to me in the inception of St. Charles River Church in 2000. At the very beginning, before there was anyone past Gina and myself and the girls and our dog Lady at the time, because we counted Lady, she had four legs, that's two people. So we counted everybody in the crickets, no matter what. We counted everybody. We got dogs. Mitzi's here today. That's two people standing there right in front of Earl. So, but there was just this inception. Lord, what is this going to look like? And God gave us these five purposes that fly above the banners that fly above your head. The five purposes of the church found in the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. I like to review these things because when people say, why do you have those banners hanging up there? You can say, those are the five purposes of the church found in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. That's what you can say. And you can say, by the way, we have 13 core values also. Let me hand you the pamphlet. I don't need you to memorize them, but we need to be able to value them and understand why we do what we do here at SCRC. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We're going to talk today. We're going to speak to this core value called creativity and innovation. And I want to settle something that creativity and innovation at St. Charles River Church is not about showmanship. It has nothing to do with showmanship. It has nothing to do with how cool it looks on our platform on Sunday morning. It has nothing to do with how cool the sound looks. That is not the that's an extension of it, but that is not why we believe in creativity and innovation. I find God incredibly creative. I find God to be, in His nature, incredibly creative. Don't you? I think I have a whole book about creation and several that speak to it along the way about God's creativity and His innovation. And this is where I go into, well, how can we be like, well, Jesus said this. Jesus said, when I leave here, you will do even greater things than you've seen me do. And I'm going to read something to you that proves that we are created in the likeness of the image of God. And so I want to read the creation story with you this morning. And I'm going to take the time to actually read it to you, if that's okay with you. And if it's not, it's okay. It's okay. We'll do this together anyway. Here we go. In the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. If you want to know how long this goes, by the way, just so that you guys know, it goes a little while. So keep following me and that'll be great. And God said, let there, if anyone wants to know what's the first recorded words of the Creator, here it is. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness called night. There was evening and there was morning, the first day. Verse 6. And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters so to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the expanse sky, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, wow, I think he's busy, don't you? I find the creation story amazingly creative and innovative. I love the creation, and I know there may be some of you thinking, well, this is really simple, Barry. Is it really? See, I'm overwhelmed already in the creation story. I'm so stinking overwhelmed, I can't really get past the words, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I'm already in awe of God. If you're not really in awe of God, I want to ask you, why not? You need to see a couple videos, Louis Giglio videos that Pastor Mike can make sure that you're able to see. If you're not in awe of God and his creation, but I'll go ahead and I'll continue to read. He says, then God said, I'm going to jump down to 11. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it. Oh my goodness. That's a lot of detail. According to their various kinds. And it was so. And the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw it, and it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs as to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give the light of the earth, and so to give light on the earth. And so it was. God made, in verse 16, God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. Wow, he's still making the stars. Do you know science is not opposing God? Science verifies God. It really does. Science is verifying the Creator is still creating. Oh, there goes another star. Seriously, there goes another star. There goes another asteroid. There goes another. Because the Creator is still expanding the universe. Why? Because he spoke it in the beginning. And he never said, stop. Find one place where God said to the creation, stop. So when God spoke stars into existence, they're still being created into existence. Why? Because he gave his word in the beginning. His word spoke creation into existence, not just a planet. He spoke creation into existence. The whole idea that it would continue to create and reproduce and reproduce. God is the author of all life, even the seed-bearing plants. He is the one that is the creator of all life. I'll jump down to verse 24. And let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground. Yeah, God created those too. And wild animals, those things you love to kill, God created them because they scare you. And he created wild animals, each according to its own kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds. The livestock, let me turn pages because I don't have my headpiece mic on today. Flip over here. According to their kinds, all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds, and God saw it, it was good. Now, I don't know seriously about where you're at with this story. I am completely dumb. I got nothing I can say. I got nothing that, you know, when people want to tell me about the Trinity and how God is create and how God is the essence of God's existence, I want to go, stop. Stop. You just lost all credibility with me. If you can explain, if you really believe, you can explain God to me. Oh, Barry, it's simple. You know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like I have a body, I have a soul. And I'm like, stop. Don't go there. You're losing credibility with me. You get this God? You actually comprehend Him? I don't. I am not that good. I cannot, I just by faith say amen. When God says let there be, it was. It didn't, the earth didn't need to give Him permission. It just happened. He said let there be. There's light. Now get this in verse 27. So God created man. Get this. Oh, up in verse 26. So God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all of the earth, and all over all of the creatures that move along the ground. Can I tell you what God did? God gave man dominion over the earth. What'd I say? God gave dominion over all of the earth. And then He says, listen, so God created man in His own image, and the image in the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase, or be fruitful and multiply, depending on your version, in number. Fill the earth and subdue it, rule over it, the fish of the sea. And so let me just stop there. Here's the bottom line. God gave you and me authority of dominion over the earth to create in it. Get that? He said, now you do over the earth what I did to give you the earth. I created it. I gave you the authority. I created it for your benefit. Now you rule over it and you create. I'm amazed. This is better than Christmas. I mean, this is better than Christmas for us. He created us perfect. He created a perfect setting for us. He was very innovative in His creation. Can I tell you how innovative He was? He knew man would fall. Now get the picture. He knew man would fall. So when He created male and female, He created the venue in which He would come to earth, the womb of a woman. Before sin was ever a part of our essence of who we are, He created the Savior's method to come into the world and be a part of the world, to save the world as the Savior of the world. He created the transport called a woman's womb. And then made sure, listen, you know the prophecies, the teachings. He made sure the blood would never touch each other. The blood of the mother and the blood of the baby never touch each other. Because the father would seed the woman. You understand that? It could not be Joseph's seed. It had to be the father's seed that seeded in the woman. How creative! Thousands of years before He would bring Mary and Joseph into this manger, He created the venue. He was innovative. He knew what He was going to do. He looked into the future, and that's what God gives us the opportunity to do with people all around us every day. We don't just come and do church. We dream. We imagine how we could impact this community. We imagine, if you're not asking God how I can impact in my workplace, you have dominion there. You have spiritual dominion there. It just bewilders me when I hear Christians say, I feel picked on all the time. They bully me. Do you know the authority you come in? Do you know the authority that you operate in? I don't think Rick goes back to the police station on any given day and says, oh, the people out there in the street picked on me today. They acted like I shouldn't be a police officer, and like I don't have the authority. I got news. He's got the badge. It's not the gun. I mean, for some people, they think it's the gun. No, it's the authority. It's not the power. It's the authority. With the authority and the power, he is a police officer. He has the authority. When Rick walks out to stop the traffic, walks out in his uniform, and he looks at the traffic, and a semi's coming his way, all Rick has to do is this. Now, if that trucker doesn't get the idea, you guys get my point. You are quick enough to move. But that's a disobedience of authority. That trucker will be, or that guy driving that rig will be responsible for disobedience of the authority. We're walking around not knowing we got the badge. We're in dominion. We actually have dominion. I'm not saying walk cocky. I'm saying walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Pray, God, show me creative and innovative ways that I can reach the people in my workplace. Show me innovative and creative ways that I can actually minister to people in the school that I teach in, or the workplace that I'm in, or the high school that I'm in. God, show me creative, innovative. You know why? Because God loves everyone. And Jesus was the ultimate in creative and innovation. How do I know that? Because he picked fishermen, didn't he? Didn't he go to Simon or to Simon's brother, Andrew? Didn't he go to Andrew first? And then he got connected to Simon Peter. And so he's picking these fishermen. And he said, what have you got today to do better than follow me? They're like, I got nothing. Andrew, you got anything? No, I got nothing. Because that was not an uncommon thing for a teacher to bring disciples along. You need to know that was not an uncommon thing. There were other prophets, other teachers, other instructors of the law, and they would bring students underneath them and call them, and they looked at him as rabbi, and they thought, well, this is quite an honor. It was quite an honor to be selected by a teacher, a rabbi, and so Jesus said, what better thing you got to do today than to follow me? They said, I got nothing. Well, drop your nets down and I'll teach you to be what? Fishers of men. What Jesus taught was fishing principles to the disciples. I'll show you, depending on what you're trying to catch. Bernie took me fishing one time out at his property. And depending on what I wanted to catch, he would change reels and he would change bait. Now, on his property, I didn't need lures, but I've been in fishing boats before where, have you ever fished with a lure all about half a day and nothing striking it? Now, what's the definition of insanity that we all love to doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result? I think about half the way through the day, I never bring a tackle box. I borrow somebody else's. I'm like, you got better smart. I don't think like a fish. So what do I need to put on this lure, on this line to get some attention? Well, let's try this for a day. And so you throw it out there. You know what lure you're going to use for a while? You're going with the successful lure because you're finally getting strikes on it. In other words, you finally tapped in to what was relevant to the audience. Can I tell you the most relevant lure you will ever use? And Jesus said this. It's called love. It's called love. We Christians we're so busy arguing politics and making sure we're right. I was in a Bible study. I wasn't in it, but Rex and Gina and I were sitting next to a Bible study in Bredco the other day. And these five men are standing around. They got their, sitting around at this big table, and they're all a little bit older than me. They got impressive tools. I mean, they had, iPads, and they're doing this, and the word says this, and Republicans finally are getting our act together. And I'm sitting there going, oh, whoa, I thought this was about Jesus. Come on. You're killing me here. You're killing me. I want to get up and go over to the table and say, guys, you have an audience of the world around you, and you just went to the most divisive thing. Bingo. The enemy got you to do what he wanted you to do. You ever heard of what time is it? You ever heard of what's it called? Parliamentary procedure. There's a thing called a division of the House. I know. Somebody fill in the words. It's called parliamentary procedure. There's a motion for the division of the House. Do you know what that means? That means everybody that's for it, stand up. Everybody that's against it, stand up. You know what that does? Everybody that's against it is mad at everybody that's for it. You ever been in church business meeting? It's prophetically named a division of the house because you just sowed discord among brethren. Now I'm mad because you voted against pastor. I'm mad because you voted for him. I mean, I saw that kind of stuff all my life. Sheila and Dave, you've seen that. We experienced it ourselves, right? We watched that stuff. We have the greatest lure in the world. His name is Jesus, and he has shown up that way. And I know every message the last few weeks, I keep pointing back to the sign. Love big. It's bigger than me and my opinion about politics. It's bigger than me about me, whether I'm hurt or getting feeling picked on at work. It's not. I'm in dominion. You have authority. Do you know your royalty bought and paid for by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? You have authority. You have authority. And those aren't just words. If we're not in the name of Jesus, Sheila and I were talking about this with Dave last night as well. If you're not in authority, if you're not operating in Jesus' name, it doesn't matter if you shout, "In Jesus' name, demon, flee." Because you're not in authority. You're not, it says, what's his old song say? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. For when we come in the name of Jesus, it's about coming in the name of Jesus. When we're operating, it's not going to church. Everybody get that? Religious people are mean. I'm sorry. They're offendable and they're mean. They want someone to preach what they like. And it usually is against somebody else. Am I right? It's about preaching against somebody else. I don't have to preach against anybody. I just have to bring Jesus into the room. It's the greatest tool. It's the most creative and innovative thing I can do. Because I promise you, if you love God, it says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Why? Because I am in you. I can't not love people because I am in you. People say, I don't know how you love people like that, Barry. The truth is, it's Gina and I operate in him. We come in him. I promise you, and I said this a few weeks ago, if I put Rick's uniform on and I stand out in the middle of the street, it may fool them one time. It may fool them one time, but if they see me out there enough times and realize I don't have that authority. See, I got nothing backing me. You get the picture. I got nothing backing me. But when Rick stands out there with that uniform, he's got the government of O'Fallon backing him. He's got the people of the government O'Fallon backing him. He's got the state legislature. He's got the governor. He's got the president of the United States and the Congress of the United States. And he's got the Constitution of the United States. And he has the people of the United States backing him. There's one guy standing there. Listen to the authority that's behind him. We want to operate in the name of Jesus. We want to believe for creative and innovative ways to love people, to reach people in a way. You know, God may speak to you. You know, that person that I work with, he really likes this. He's interested in these things. And this is not manipulation. If you win, I mean, if there's anything in this for you, that's called manipulation. But if he's got nothing he can do for you, or she's got nothing that she can do for you, and it's just about her eternity of knowing Christ, I'm telling you, love them enough to get involved in those things that they find interesting and have great conversations. There's innovative ways to put a lure of love on a hook. And by the way, there are people in my life through the years, and I'm going to close, but there are people in my life down through the years that have decided that they despise me long before. And I knew it. I knew it. They didn't like me. How did I know that? Because a couple years later, they would actually admit, you know, when I first met you, I did not like you. I was so blessed by that. I was always blessed by honesty. I just need to be transparent with you. I need to confess my sin to you. I despised you. I'm so blessed by that. I'm so touched. That means so much for me to know that. No, I didn't know. That, and what happened was, over time, they'll learn that what genuine love is. I had a lady, remember the lady in Haiti that said on the first day, I hate your voice, I hate you, and by the end of this week, I'm going to be sick of you. By 4 days later, she's saying, I need a berry hug. I need a berry. And it's not because of me. It is the Spirit of the living God determined to love people in spite of what they come as. You see, the lure of love is creative and it's innovative. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of knowing you, the creator, the innovator. Wow. God, you are amazing. I ask you, God, that you will awaken us in a way like never before. Like never before. Awaken us, God, to a passion of being creative and innovative in a loving way to a world that needs Jesus. And every believer said, amen. God bless you guys.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.